John chapter 18, verses 28 to 38. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They did not enter the headquarters themselves. Otherwise, they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you." Pilate told them, "You take him and judge him according to your law. It is not legal for us to put anyone to death." The Jews declared, they said this so that Jesus' words might be fulfilled, indicating what kind of death he was going to die. Then Pilate went back to the headquarters and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you asking this on your own, or have others told you about me?" "I am not a Jew, am I?" Pilate replied. "Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" "My kingdom is not of this world," said Jesus. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. "You say that I am a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" said Pilate. After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no grounds for charging him." May God bless the reading of his word.
What is truth? That's one of the, if not the most important question any of us can ever ask. But here's the thing, once you ask that question, you have a decision to make. For me, that came when I was 22. I had enjoyed a life of atheism. I was my own king. I was pretty sure there's no heaven, there's no hell. Truth was whatever I wanted it to be. And my truth was I was existing to wring everything I could out of this world. But then one day I had this dark night of the soul. I'm lying on my bed and I'm trying to put the pieces of my life together. And as I'm lying there, it struck me. Here am I. I have a Mormon girlfriend. I have a Muslim medical friend. I have a Catholic university friend. I have plenty of atheist friends. But now I also had two Christian friends who were greatly troubling my soul. All of these people around me said, "We have the truth. What is truth?" Then it got even harder. I'm lying there, I'm thinking, I don't know if any of them have the truth. If any of them do have the truth, how would I ever know that their truth is the true truth? I mean, who can say, is there a God? And if there is a God, who can say Jesus is the Son of God? But I had to know because I had these troublers who kept telling me there's a God, there's a heaven, there's a hell, truth matters. What is truth? So I wrestled with the whole notion of truth. I'm lying there and it began to dawn on me, underlying all of my other questions was one great question, is there a God? And if I answer that and say there is a God, the question is, has he spoken? Because if there is one almighty being, by definition, if he speaks, what he speaks is truth. And a verse my friends kept sharing with me began to eat at me, because they kept saying, there's this guy, Jesus, who said something. And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And it struck me, he didn't just say, "I'm speaking truth." He said, "I am the truth." Now, it was something that struck me then. It struck me for decades. Jesus claimed to be the truth. I have to tell you, that statement has become one of the foundational pillars of my life. It's got me through some difficult times. I have built my life on it. It has been such a blessing when I need guidance to meditate on Jesus, who is the truth. And the more I've thought about that, the more beautiful it's become. Now, we're in the midst of a series based on a quote by Robert Murray McShane. And the quote is, "For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ." When you look at Christ, it humbles the mind, it magnifies the mind, and it feeds the soul. I think this is basically the greatest exercise any of us can ever undertake. So this morning, the fourth look that I want us to meditate on is that Christ glorifies the Father as truth. Truth. Now, you might hear truth and it might sound a bit cold, it might sound a bit logical, a bit rational to you. I want to tell you it is anything but. I have found this to be one of the more beautiful and satisfying attributes of Christ. It is his truth that sets us free. It is his truth that gives us hope. Because Jesus is truth, when he says, "I will save you, I will come again," you can trust that that will happen. If you want to understand this world, it's his truth that will help you understand it. Truth is beautiful. Now, here's the truth. In Christ, God has given us every truth for life in eternity. Trust him and live. In Christ, God has given us every truth for life in eternity. Trust him and live. Now, I said to you, this is truth. And I've got to tell you, I believe it is truth with every fiber of my being. But many in our world will say, you can't know that's true. You can believe it's true, you just can't know that it's true. You need to know that there are some very smart men and women throughout the centuries who've said, there is no way to know if anything is actually true. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you they're wrong. Now, there is a writer in the Bible that speaks a lot about truth. His name is John. If you read the Gospel John wrote or the letters that John wrote, you're going to find that word from beginning to end, truth. Let's have a look. Turn with me, if you will, to the beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 1. Look at the opening verse of his Gospel, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word, it's the Greek word logos. It's a term that speaks of the self-revelation of God. Basically, the truth about God and from God. And John said, this logos doesn't just speak for God, he is God. Now, John, if you read the next verses, goes on to tell us this logos came into the world and took on flesh. He is Christ. He is Jesus. He is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. John chooses to use this term because when you read the gospel, what we find is Jesus says one of his main tasks, his great task, is to come into the world to reveal truths about the Father. So verse 4, this logos brings life and light to the world. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace, and he is our word, truth. He came full of grace and truth. And we find that throughout. In fact, that's in all of John's gospel and letters. Verse 17, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This life-giving, light-bringing logos, this revelation, comes embodied as grace, but crucially also as truth. John understands something. If God exists and created everything and sustains everything, everything God says, does, and communicates must be by definition true. God is love. God cannot lie. If he reveals himself in Jesus, it is truth. What he says and does is true. In him, we can know the unknowable God and truths about heaven and life to come. Jesus came into our world as the truth from God. When you see Jesus, you see truth. John 8:45, I speak the truth. So when you hear Jesus, you hear truth. Now, crucially, Jesus comes, he speaks truth, and he says, I'm not putting stuff out there for you to debate. I am the truth, you believe. But John makes it clear, when the truth came into our world and spoke, it divided all mankind into two groups. There are those who heard the truth and said, we believe. There are those who heard the truth and said, no. You find it all the way through. John 1:10-12. He was in the world. The world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. John 10:25-28. I did tell you, and you don't believe, Jesus answered them. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they'll never perish. The Bible says this, Romans 1. The truth that there is a God is clear in creation. It's just men suppress that truth. That is bad enough. But when the full and final and greatest revelation of God comes into the world and says, I am truth, and men say, we do not accept that, we do not believe that, then you have denied the only hope, the only salvation you have. This is no minor matter. Now, we live in a world where so many people make truth claims. You can get on the internet, you're going to find a lot of truth claims. You can log on to what I think is Donald Trump's hilariously named Truth Social. And there you're going to find truth claims. But you will read them and you've got to decide if they're true. What is true? Did Kamala actually have lots of people there at her rally, or did she just Photoshop them in? Is it true that she is rising in the polls, or is that fake news? What is true? Now, I suspect you're probably like most of us, you don't give a lot of grey matter and time to pondering this. Well, I hope you don't. But there's something you should give a lot of time and thought to pondering. One who comes and says, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the only way to life. Believe and live. So, to help us think about this, I'm going to give you three truths. Truth one, know God, know truth. What I mean by this is, if there is no God, there is no truth you can know with absolute certainty. I'll explain that. The Bible says as much. John 14:17. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. If you don't know God, you don't know truth. In fact, if you don't believe there's a God, there is nothing you can know with absolute certainty. You might hold some things as true. In fact, they may actually be true. It's just you cannot be certain that they're true. There's no God who speaks with perfect authority. There's no way to know if anything's true. Now, you might go, well, that's what Christians believe. Well, actually, that's something every non-Christian worldly philosopher of every stripe also says. I want us to think about this. If you get lost in what I'm about to say, it's all right. I'll sum it up at the end. Every philosopher has realized you cannot even say what is true unless there is a divine ultimate being who says what truth is. And so they struggle to even define truth. Eventually, most dictionaries end up defining it something like this. Truth is the property of being in accord with fact or reality. Except they know that that may not be true. Even the definition of truth, you don't know if it's true or not. And then if you read on in any discussion of truth, every worldly philosopher, and I mean every one of them, will tell you, since we don't believe in one absolute being who defines what is true, then while there are truths, we admit there is no way to be certain what those truths are. For example, if you're a movie buff, do you exist or are you just a computer simulation in the Matrix? Maybe you exist, maybe you don't. Maybe neither's true. You can have a belief about that. You just can't know for certain because your knowledge is not infinite. Now, when I'm talking about things we believe, I'm not just talking about weird things and difficult things like, can we actually know who killed JFK? Can we actually know if angels exist? And if we do, how many can dance on the head of a pin? I'm not just talking about that. I mean, philosophers tell us there is nothing, absolutely nothing, no statement, no belief, no thought that you can say is absolutely true. Why? Because to say something is true, you have to be a perfect being with perfect knowledge, perfect senses, perfect comprehension, or there has to be such a being who reveals truth to you. You either have to be God or hear from God. If there is no God, there is no truth. They admit that freely because experience tells us we are imperfect beings. We interpret things and statements and properties wrongly. We may be deceived. We may be wrong. Now, I know this is a bit abstract, but stay with me. Here is my little guy. This is Nomi. I want to ask you, what is the truth about Nomi? What is the truth? Does he exist? I mean, is he a representation of a true being? I hope not. I don't believe so. But who knows? Okay, try this. I'm going to tell you my truth about Nomi. My son went on an overseas trip, and he thought an appropriate gift to bring back to his beloved father was this. Your truth might be that things looks like a ridiculous plastic gnome holding a pig. Both truths may be true. Neither truth may be true. You see, a philosopher, if they were here, they might say, you know what, it's unlikely, but it is possible that someone in here let LSD out. We are all hallucinating. I got nothing in my hand. We're all just hallucinating and seeing this beautiful little fella. Your truth, my truth, the truth, what is truth? Now, maybe that's a bit too weird or abstract for you, so let's bring it down. Nomi's hat. What is the truth about the colour of Nomi's hat? My truth is it's red. I really hope your truth is it's red, but we won't get into that. Philosophers will tell us, you know, it is most likely red. We just can't be absolutely certain it's red. Now, bear with me. If you look up Wikipedia and the article on truth, it's a very long article. Not only does it say, look, we can't be certain about truth, it says, what if the philosophers say is, the best we can do is get close to the truth. And There are all these different philosophical theories about how you can get close to the truth. Wikipedia lists 15 of them. Now, the truth is there's a lot more than 15 because I've read a lot of them this week. I'm not going to bore you, so I'm just going to talk about the first three on the list there in Wikipedia, and they're probably the more common ones. There is the correspondence theory. It says what you believe to be true accurately corresponds to objective realities. What does that mean? Well, you see, there's truth. There is a true color to his hat, and your senses and your brain comprehend that and tell you. So they would say his hat is red because it's actually red, and you looked at it, and your eyes and your brain confirmed and corresponded and said, it's red. The coherence theory. Something is true if it logically coheres with other accepted truths. What does that mean? It means we live in an ordered universe, and if something is true, all the other things we know that are true will line up behind it. There aren't outlying facts that say something is not true. We believe his hat is red because all the evidence we have is it's red. If we perform spectral analysis on it, our machine says, yeah, it's red. If I survey all these people, they're going to say, it's red. We have no evidence out there saying, oops, it's not red. So it's red. Then there is the pragmatic theory. Truth is determined by how useful or practical a belief or statement is, rather than by correspondence to facts or internal coherence alone. Okay. We can't be sure if the hat's red or not, but who cares? We live as if it's red. It works for us, so it's red. Now, here's the thing. Honestly, most people out there probably live according to the pragmatic theory. If it works for them, it's truth. Now, here's my point. Not just those three, not even the 15 on Wikipedia, but everyone that the philosophers talk about say, look, we think there are ways to get close to the truth, but in every view, there is a way to say it's not 100%. We could be wrong. Why? Because we are imperfect. We make mistakes. We get deceived. We make false assumptions. No one is a perfect interpreter or observer. The correspondence theory, they would say, well, you see red, but maybe you're colorblind. You see red, but maybe you took a hallucinogenic drug. It's possible what you think you see is not what you see. The coherence theory. Maybe everyone who taught me and pointed to something in a book when I was a kid and said, this is called red, they were wrong. Maybe my instruments that tell me the spectral analysis is red, they're not calibrated right. Maybe I just haven't found the smoking gun that is proof that the hat's not red. And the pragmatic theory, they already admit that it's probably not true. See, if there's no God, if there's no perfect being who creates truth and declares truth, the best we can ever talk about is relative truth. That's why the world will tell you we can't know the truth. And that's why the world's fine with accepting a relative truth. It's why you keep hearing my truth, your truth, our society's truth, scientific truth, fake truth. What matters is what I think is true. If my truth is a man can be a woman, you cannot tell me I am wrong. Now, I'll also point out that all philosophers admit there is actual truth. They just say we can't know it for sure. They will admit either a man can be a woman or a man cannot be a woman. Both can't actually be true. So what if the truth is there is a God and there is a judgment and there is a hell and there's only one way to avoid it? Then the truth absolutely matters. So if there is a God who tells us truth, then saying, yeah, but I still want to hold to my truth, it's not good enough. Now, I know some of you have taken philosophy classes, and you know this thinking goes even deeper. It has often been pointed out the very fact that men and women can think and sense and debate, it presupposes a God. See, random atoms don't do this. The fact that we live in a universe with coherent laws and rational thought, it presupposes a creator and sustainer. Without God, there is actually no justification for you to rely on your senses, your mind, your laws, and even come up with these theories. It's absurd because the reasoning that says there is no God actually proves there is a God. And the whole framework falls apart if there is no God. So here's the truth. No God, no truth. Look, if I've lost you, basically what I've said is this. There are people who are actually, at least humanly speaking, pretty smart men and women. But the Bible would say they're fools because they say there's nothing we can believe that's true. Here are statements they put that make it a bit clearer. Friedrich Nietzsche, there are no facts, only interpretations. He also said, you have your way, I have my way. As for the right way, the correct way, the only way, it does not exist. He denies that there is true truth. Aldo Huxley put it this way, there are things known, there are things unknown, and in between are the doors of perception. It's all relative. And of course, many of you who've ever done a philosophy course would know these incredibly smart people just made a truth claim that there is no truth, and although the irony should be crushing, it's lost on them. So Psalm 14:1 is right. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. When you say there is no God, the only truth is your truth. And that's not a good truth. But that's how our world lives. And it's foolish. There is no system of logic, reasoning, morals that stands if you reject God. Even in disciplines like science and mathematics, they will be honest about it and tell you there are no absolutes. My truth is 2 and 2 is 4. It's probably most of your truths. I haven't done enough math, but they tell me that there are systems of logic and certain numbering systems in which that's not true. Kathy Sykes, a British physicist, professor at the University of Bristol, says, science isn't about truth. It's only about trying to get close to the truth. This is important because too often people look to scientists and think we have the truth. What we have is wrapped in uncertainties, caveats, and simplifications. No one can be sure if the mathematics they rely on, the logic, the instruments, the observation, the interpretations are perfect. Science says, look, we've had a look, and for 1,000 times you've stepped off a boat and you have sunk. But science will say, look, we think next time you step off the boat, you're going to sink, but it doesn't prove that the 1,001st time you're going to step off the boat and sink. But we're going to hold it, you're going to sink, until some guy comes along, steps out of a boat, and walks on water. Well, hold on to your little red hats. Because guess what? John says, that happened. The Word became flesh. He entered our world, and he not only revealed God, but to prove he is truth, he broke the very laws of nature. And to refute all other religions and all other claims to speak for God, he made the ultimate truth claim. He rose from the dead to prove he is truth. And so John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So truth two, no God, no truth, K-N-O-W. You want to define truth? I want to suggest to you there is only one way to define truth, and it is this, God is truth. Whatever God is, Whatever God says, whatever God does, is truth. God is truth. If you want to know truth, listen to truth, that which is revealed by God. You don't find it, you receive it. Deuteronomy 32:4, the rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God without bias, he is righteous and true. In Psalm 31:5, David calls the Lord God of truth. See, there are things that are inherent to God. God is love. God is holy. But one of the great things about God is he is truth. Things can be true, but only God is truth. I can say I believe God created the world. Only God can declare the truth is he created the world. See, truth dependent on the character, the trustworthiness, the wisdom, the knowledge, the omnipotence of the one speaking. Only God can reveal absolute truth. So the question then becomes, I'm not God. I'm an imperfect man. Can I know truth? Well, yes, when God, who is truth, speaks and reveals truth to me. Let's put some flesh on this. So have a look at John 14. John 14. So this is the night before the crucifixion. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. What's troubling them? Chapter 13 is troubling them. Basically everything. They were just thinking they got things sorted out. We've kind of worked out this guy we've been walking around with for 3 years is Messiah. But they had this view of Messiah that's just been upended. In chapter 13, Messiah girds on the robe of a slave, washes their feet, and they're like, servant, king, we don't get it. Then it gets worse. He says, I'm going to die. Dead Messiah, we don't get it. We are troubled. How do you get untroubled? I'll tell you how. Look at it. Jesus says, believe in God. You want truth? This is the starting point for all truth and wisdom. If you don't believe in God, who are you going to believe? The internet, TikTok, scientists, government, philosophers? I think for most people, they finally say, the ultimate arbiter of truth is me. I'll take all of this and I'll decide what I believe is truth. The Bible says that's a little foolish. There are a lot of things that we believe to be true that probably are true. But I know for certain that when I get to heaven, some things I believe to be true will turn out not to be. But things that I've heard God say, that God has declared, those things will not turn out to be false. They will always be true. And that is why Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Once you accept there is a God, the universe makes sense. Once you accept there's a God, there are truths to guide your life. God spoke, God created, and now we know truth because this God spoke. He spoke. In the beginning, he spoke. In the garden, he spoke. He spoke to Israel. But in the final and greatest way he spoke in his Son. Hebrews 1, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times in different ways. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things, made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So, back to John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, you want to be untroubled? Believe in God, but then crucially he says, believe also in me. Not only is God truth, but Jesus, who comes from God, is truth. And so a third truth. The truth, will set you free. Why did God speak truth in Jesus? Jesus said, to save us, so we would know the way. Who do you trust to tell you the truth? There's a group that put out the Edelman Trust Barometer every year. They survey people all over the world about who they trust to tell them the truth. It's a very long report, but I'm just going to point out a couple of things. One of the questions is, do you trust your government to give you the truth? Some people do. The country that trusts their government the most, it is China. 79%. I was told in between, that's because they were told they have to say that. I don't know. Aussies, well, we're way down at 52%. That's actually up from 48 the year before, and frankly, I'm surprised it's that high. But you read on through this report and you find things like this. 59% of Australians are worried that the government, business, leaders and journalists are purposely misleading us. They're lying to us. Why are we so mistrusting? I think because many of us have put our trust in people and institutions who've let us down, and we're suspicious. It is hard to trust. What if the stakes are high? It is your eternal life. Who are you going to trust? Jesus said, trust me, and the truth will set you free. Most of the world doesn't even realize they are in grave eternal danger, let alone that there is a way if they trust. God knows the danger the world's in. And so he loved the world enough that he sent his son to declare truth to us. And he said, everyone who believes in me will live. Jesus said, trust me. He said, there are things that your senses can't tell you about. Can't tell you about what happens after you die. Can't tell you about heaven. So back in John 14, Jesus says this, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again, take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. I haven't seen heaven. I haven't died, neither have the disciples. I can't speak with authority, nor can the disciples. How can we actually know anything about questions like this? We can know if the one who is truth tells us. Jesus speaks, and what he's doing here, he's saying, look, here's the truth. I'm going to prepare a way for you, and there is life after death, and there is a way. Now, don't be mistaken. A lot of people think he's saying, hey, I'm going to die, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to use the carpentry skills I picked up here, and I'm going to build you a mansion. That's not what he's saying. The way he prepares a place for us is by dying on the cross and paying for our sins, but basically he's saying there is a heaven and there is a way. And then he says, you know the way to where I'm going. And they're like, we do? On one level, they don't. They're like, we haven't seen heaven. We haven't died. But Jesus is telling them, you don't need to have, because for 3 years, the truth has been with you, and he has talked about heaven, and he has talked about the way. Now, Thomas, the literalist, chimes in and says, Lord, actually, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Oh, poor Jesus must be shaking his head. Verse 6, in case you missed it, Thomas, others, GBC, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Trust me. How do we know this is true? Look, you can read the rest of it. I don't have time, but just look down at verse 11. He says, believe me that I'm the Father, the Father's in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Look, best thing, the truth has come. Hear the truth, just believe. But how gracious is our Jesus? That should be enough. But he knows there's some of us that got to put our hands in there and go, okay, I believe. That's me. When I first heard the word, it took a while, but finally I believed. And then you know what? A little while later, I had doubts. So I went to the resurrection. I studied that thing inside and out, and finally I said, I don't have any doubts anymore. Jesus rose. Jesus is God. Jesus is the truth. I believe. Let's look at a second truth encounter. John 18. Look over at John 18. This one is fascinating. In verses 28 to 32, Jesus is brought to Pilate. Pilate's the governor. He thinks he's in charge. He says, what are the charges? Now, the other Gospels tell us, the Jews say, the charges, this guy says he's king of the Jews. Pilate says, king of the Jews, that's Jew stuff. You Jews sort it out. And they say, yeah, but we think king of the Jews is serious enough to kill him. We're not allowed to kill him. You got to deal with it. Verse 33, Pilate summons Jesus and says, are you king of the Jews? You don't look like a king. The Jews are saying you're a king. What are you saying? Look, it's not really a yes or no question. Is Jesus a worldly king? No. Is Jesus king of a different kingdom? Yes. So Jesus answers, you asking this on your own? Others told you. This is a question you're really asking? And he says, look, I'm not a Jew. You're a nation and chief priests handed you over. What have you done? Do I look Jewish? Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. He says, here's the truth. I'm a king. But I'm not like any king you can imagine. My kingdom's not worldly, it's spiritual. If I wanted that kind of kingdom, yeah, I have that one too. You are a king then, Pilate asks. Verse 37, I think is probably better translated the way the NIV does, where Jesus says, you are right in saying, I'm a king. I am a king. Not the kind the Jews are talking about. I'm a divine king. And then he says, I was born for this. I've come into the world for this to testify to the truth. I've come to testify to the truth of who I am. And then he says this, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So here's Pilate. Pilate thinks he's holding all the cards here. He's the Roman governor. He's this beaten up guy. The Jews want him dead. His life is in Pilate's hands. And he looks him in the eye. And this guy says, I am the truth. I speak the truth. Here's the truth. I'm a king and your life is in my hands. Do you believe? So Pilate has a choice. He's looking at truth. He could walk down there and touch him, the truth. Jesus basically says, do you believe? Pilate responds with some of the most famous words in all history. What is truth? What a foolish answer. The truth is there. Jesus is truth. He's like, what's truth? The truth could have set Pilate free. As a Christian, I can tell you the truth set me free. It has set me free in so many ways. There are questions that tear our world apart. What's a woman? Is an unborn infant a child? Isn't love just love? Isn't there a hell or is there not? I know the truth because God has spoken the truth And I can tell you, even some things that didn't seem that beautiful to me over time as I've meditated on it, these truths are beautiful. Truths like the nature of men and women. It's beautiful. That life begins at conception. That they bear the image of God. It's beautiful. Even the necessity of judgment is grounded in the holiness of God. And it's beautiful. I find even greater beauty in the truth of the cross. This is a messed up world. This world has Putins in it. And it looks like they can do whatever they want and die and that's it. There are people in this world that at a young age get cancer and die or mowed down by a natural disaster. And you go, where is God? Where is justice? Where is hope? You look to Jesus. You look to the cross. There is truth. There is hope. God's justice and love meet at the cross. And even more, he said, the truth sets you free eternally. How do I know that when I die, I will live again? Because the truth said so. Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God. And when he says this is truth, it is true, and you can build your life on it. When he says, believe in me and live, I will come again. I will take you to be with me forever. It is true. You can trust him. So this is the great tragedy of the story of Pilate. The truth is standing right before him. Denying that truth condemns him. He handed Christ over and thought, I'll get out of it. I'll just wash my hands. No. The only thing that can save him is believing that truth. When he asked, what is truth? What did he mean? I don't think Pilate was some great first century philosopher saying, you've asked me this metaphysical question. Look, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in absolute truth. So how can I judge your truth claim? I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't even think he's saying, look, you think you're a God. I don't know. That's your truth, not my truth. I think he's saying, look, I don't know the truth, but I really don't want to spend the time to sort out the truth. I don't know if you're a king or a madman, but I do know if I even look at this and don't hand you over, they're going to tell Caesar that I let a dangerous man go. I don't think the truth is worth it. I think many in our world live that way. Maybe there's a God, maybe there isn't. Too hard to sort out. I got a life to live. What is truth? Well, one day Pilate died. There is a judgment, and it will not be him standing in judgment of Jesus. It will be Jesus standing in judgment of him. And there is only one truth that could have saved Pilate eternally. If he had bothered to take the time to listen to the truth and believe the truth. What is truth? Jesus is truth. When Jesus said he loves us, when Jesus said, I am the shepherd, when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, when Jesus said, I will come back for you, I will give you eternal life, you can trust him. Now, we don't have Jesus standing before us. We got something just as good. John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. The word testifies to Jesus. Jesus testifies to God. It is true. What is truth? Jesus is truth. Brothers and sisters, look, it matters to a degree if I believe Elvis is alive, that 5G spreads COVID and Bigfoot walks the earth. I don't. But you know what? God hasn't spoken on these. I can only get close to the truth. But I want to tell you there are other things that matter, and he has spoken on them. He has said, Craig Lloyd, you are a sinner. There is judgment coming. There is only one way to life. Trust in the death of Christ and live. That is a truth you can build your life on. That is a truth that will hold you fast in the tough times that come. That is a truth that can never fail. That is a truth that will set you free. Believe in him and live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the truth. We thank you he cared enough to come and share that truth with us. Lord, open our eyes to the truth that we believe in him and live. In his name, amen. What's the truth that echoes down through eternity? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Believe in him and live. May these truths sustain you. Say hi to someone you may not know. Come back tonight. We're in 2 Samuel and we're looking at Christ in the Old Testament. Thank you. Lord bless you.